Okay, so here we are once again. We're actually recording this on Wednesday night. We're getting closer to getting live, aren't we, Duel?
Closer and closer every show.
And also on the line, we've got Condor back with us tonight.
Hello.
He sounds excited. And in the remote studio, Mary Chan. This is a special show, everybody. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, so let's talk about that right now. Mary Chan is packing things up and heading off to school.
That's right. She's going to a college in another state, and we're going to miss her. We're going to miss her in the studios when we record every night.
Well, we don't record quite every night. It's like once a week.
Every week, every night we record. You know what? I'm tearing up. Hold on. Here's Mary Chan.
He's lying. All lies.
Yeah. So you're going off to school.
Mm-hmm.
And are you still going to give us, like, correspondence reports and that type of thing from off whatever state you happen to be in?
If Bill sees fit, sure.
Oh, okay. What if he doesn't see fit? Are you going to do it anyway?
No, screw him. Yeah, I'll do it.
There you go. And just so you know, folks, we've got Mary Chan doing the intro. We're going to play around with that a little bit, so we'll still have her here in spirit. And, you know, maybe we can hook something up and, I don't know, voice over IP over the internet or something like that to try to bring you in later on.
I'm flattered.
Yeah, so, now what kind of thing are you thinking of going and doing?
Well, I'm thinking something art-related, not to say liberal arts, because you know the old joke, right, what the English majors say?
You want fries with that?
Yeah, that one. I mean, as much as I enjoy writing and all, there's not really, you know, that incredible amount of stuff you can put it towards. So I'd like to try something involving, you know, probably either, you know, probably something like graphic design, you know, illustration, steady things like that. I don't know if you guys figured this out, but I have a lot of artistic talent that I can't really apply here in studio, but I'd like to put it towards something eventually. I think that'd be fun.
So you want to be an artsy-fartsy when you grow up?
Leave me alone, yeah.
Ooh, clever comeback.
Screw you, old man. God.
Okay. Boy, I'm going to miss hearing that, not.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Big W, right, with the fingers.
Killed your old man.
Okay. And on that note, we'll have Mary Chan chiming in tonight as we go. Now, folks, Duel, we can get Duel back on the line there. Duel is in the remote studio tonight, and I'm doing the recording. Because why is that, Duel?
Because I have no internet, which sucks. I came home from travel from the 2600 meeting. And apparently, boy, here's what happened. I came home, opened my door, and a fan in my air conditioner was running. And I said, what the hell? That's exactly what I said, what the hell? So I went and looked at the switch and then switched that off. Very odd. I had to go outside and clean up after some big storm. My neighbor came over and said, you know what? Duel, he called me, Duel, lightning has struck your property the day before. I said, no way. He said, way. And that explained, you know, the switch getting bright closed. And then that also explained, unfortunately, my cable modem being ruined. And I've been without internet access since, what was that? Well, I got home Monday, but theoretically since Sunday. I need a computer. This is horrible. I want to apologize to anybody I haven't been able to get in contact with. And it's also, like Rex said, the reason why he is recording tonight and I am remote. And actually, this is going to be the same way for about 3 weeks, except sans Duel. Rax is going to take over the duties, and Condor and hopefully Meme and Slip are going to fill in on the show. Hopefully we can get the special episode that Meme's been promising us. And it's going to be a refreshing change for the next few weeks.
So, Duel, are you going to try to tune into the stream on Wednesday nights and see what it sounds like?
Boy, I hope so. I'm going to try. You know, I'll try to call in. I'll try to listen to the stream. I just can't wait. It's so fun. It's actually really fun, you know, listening to the show. You know, I know that sounds kind of dumb. It's like getting a new car and then watching somebody drive your car. It's like, oh, wow, that looks cool driving down the street. So I'm going to be listening to the show as much as I can, getting back to people as much as I can while I'm away. So that'll be three weeks of special episodes. So tune in, listeners.
And we'll keep posting things up on the site. Yeah. Now, are you going to have internet access when you're off remote?
Yeah, I should have dial-up. I'm arranging that as we speak, thanks to Slingshot, so...
That's cool. See, now, if you had dial-up there, at least you could, you know, if you had your Slingshot thing going, do you even have a modem on a desktop, or would you use your laptop?
Yeah, I've got everything. I'm running Linux on my Red Hat Linux on my laptop now. I'm actually going to be getting a loaner laptop, so running Windows 2K, I think, and I'm sure that'll have a modem. So I should have no problem getting dial-up.
Well, there you go. And it's funny, when you these days you actually have to have a backup plan to get out to the Internet just in case something like this goes wrong.
You know, and I usually do. You know, slingshot, having a Windows machine with a modem, but right now I don't. And I don't know if I'm too lazy or not at the time. It's just not working. So, and man, I need bandwidth, baby. I need cable. I need broadband. I really need a T1 like you have, Rax. By the way, Rax, I want to thank you. While I was on travel, I thought, boy, I'm not going to have internet. Wait a minute. You know, I just, you know, as I said, I've got Red Hat 7.3 on my laptop. I've got my Lucent card. So what do? I park in front of Rax's house, and I use his oh-so-wonderful T1. I can't thank you enough, Rax. Your wireless internet access worked flawlessly.
Well, hey, you know, it's my pleasure, and no, I really can't disclose where I'm at to let all people know, but for those of you who know me, you can just pull by, park on the street, and I've got it wide open. You can get out to the net. I got my machines locked down, but you can get out to the net. So I'd like to play around with that too and do a little community wireless and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, mine is up to the public when it works. My wireless router is up for anybody who wants to do a little war driving and surf the internet. They're more than welcome.
So you've got wireless internet access, or you got wireless network access to your computers at home, right? So people could still like try to surf and break into your computers at home.
Theoretically, yes, they could. I think they're locked down pretty well, though. Well, oh God, I should say that. That's the last thing you want to say in a hacker radio show.
Yeah, really tempting fate.
I hope my machines are locked down sufficiently.
Yeah. So now, Condor, what have you been up to? You haven't been on the show in quite a while.
I've been programming in C, messing with Linux, really nothing much.
The big question, though, is, Condor, did you end up getting a job?
No, I didn't.
Yes! More time to hack.
Right. That's how I was able to help Duel with his caucus.
Oh, man, and I can't thank you enough for your help.
But, you know, it's a partnership. It's a togetherness with fellow programmers.
It is. You know what? It is so much more fun. And you learn so much faster if you have somebody to learn with. I highly recommend. And you know, beyond the 2600 meetings, which we can talk about also, you find somebody who has the same interest as you. And if you're listening to the show, I guarantee you've got a friend or somebody online that does have the same interest as you, and work with them. You know, I have learned so much. You know, working back and forth with Condor, email, IM, it works great. It works great, you know, debugging each other's code, you know, not that I'm definitely not doing anything groundbreaking, but the learning has definitely increased, as well as the fun factor. It's much more fun learning with somebody else.
Yeah, now, Duel, too, did we talk about this before, that contribution from that listener in Sweden?
Yeah, Norse. Oh, man, that was awesome. You know, just go check it out, banners.c. It's on the text files page at oldschoolfreak.com. And, you know, just read the intro to the code, you know, and he whipped this together in 15 minutes, but that was awesome. And he sent it to us, you know, and that is definitely what it's all about. So he was there with us sharing the code, brother.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's kind of cool. We've done that a couple of times before. We put this one wasn't really a call out for help. I guess maybe it was a desperate cry, but so we asked before for someone to do the show notes, and what's the dude's name that's doing that, Duel?
That's Turmoil. And I sent him a swag. Let me know if he got it, dude. He might have. For all I know, George W. emailed me and said he loves the show. You know, I have no idea.
I'm working on Linux, trying to get my palm to get on Linux. So,
well, that's easy.
You can go to uclinux.org, I think.
uclinux.org.
Wait, you're not trying to sync your palm with Linux. You're trying to get Linux on your palm.
Right, I'm trying to dump the closed source palm OS and switch to Linux.
Okay, now I've done a little research, not very little. I went to linuxda.com and they sell it,
right.
Right.
And I'm not sure. I might want to use that, switch to that. Then once I get more used to it, then I can go and actually choose UC Linux, which is a total open source kind of thing, because LinuxDA actually gives you out their source, gives you the source of it, and you can mess around with it. But I'm thinking I might buy LinuxDA, then I'll go to UC Linux.
So now, Condor, was that LinuxDA, one of them I saw out there was actually, you download it to the Palm and run it kind of like an application, so you still have your original Palm OS is still there.
Correct. I'm not sure if it's still like that, but I know that UC Linux is actually a total Linux operating system on there. It even has networking support. It has an option of firewalling support. Why you would need a firewall on your Palm, I have no idea. But it's just it's a small computer. It's the Motorola 680K processor, and it's just a computer.
Yep, a little special purpose computer.
So you can, all right. So back to this, the Linux, you know, kind of like an emulator, you know, the app that runs on your Palm. So you can basically run, like you said, run Linux as an app on your Palm, and then could you write, you know, shell scripts to automate tasks on your Palm? I mean,
I think they give you a Linux demo at linuxda.com.
Uh-huh.
They give you a demo. I'm not sure. Isn't that the demo where you actually run it as a program, Rex?
Well, I think the whole application does as well. I mean, even if you buy it, if I recall correctly, that's what it does. But it might be a fun way to play around with it to get started.
Oh, the source really looks like it's a Palm. It's actually meant to go on the Palm. I'm not sure. I'll look into it more. Find out. But I know that UC Linux, you actually dumped the Palm OS and switched in open source Linux distribution for your Palm.
Yeah.
Real cool.
Well, you got to play with that and let us know how you make out with it.
Right.
So.
Yep. All right, hold on. Mary Chan just jumped on my Linux box here, and I launched GIMP 4. You like Photoshop, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is a free Photoshop. There, you can play with that. It's kind of. We got to give some props to Mary Chan for being so patient with this show. You know, I'm not having to be, you know, sort of being on the show. You know, not being able to listen to it because we're not on speakerphone.
She's just kind of there in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, this is a good time for my Linux tip of the week.
Go for it.
This is, you know, in honor of Condor being on the show and hopefully the future shows, I want to give a little, you know, a little Linux tip for all you listeners. Of course, I've got, like I said, Red Hat running on my laptop now, not SUSE, which is unbelievable, and I'm actually liking it a lot. Very powerful command line. So what I've done, I'm using GNOME. I didn't like the login. I wanted to speed it up. I actually just wanted to change it. Well, how do you do that? Well, here's what you do. You go to /etc/x11/gdm, GNOME Display Manager, and look for a file called gdm.conf. And what you want to do is edit that. So type vi. I'm just typing more here because I just want to look at it. And of course, use bash, so use your tab complete. gdm.conf. And down near the bottom, you'll see a section. Let's see, let me use less instead. I'm pretty dumb, I guess. So I got a buddy at work who just says I'm dumb for using more, but it's just a habit, you know?
Yeah.
Near the bottom, right above chooser, you'll see a section that'll have a lot of properties that say background type, background image, background schedule. What GDM does when you log in, you know, if you got a graphical login, if you're not using, command line login, you got a graphical login in GNOME, you're going to, what it's going to do, GDM is going to call program XSRI. What you want to do, you'll see background program equals user bin XSRI. What you want to do is comment that out, and comments in this are hash marks. And then you can basically tweak your, you know, GNOME graphical login right here. And what I've done, you know, to speed it up, no image and speed color, so like the background type is going to equal 2 for color. And then for my background color, I put it to 6, you know, quantity 6 zeros, hex for black. And that's it. So now I've got this, you know, instead of this big Red Hat logo and the color screen, all it does is pop up that little, you know, the little login box, and that's it. So that's my Linux tip for the week. Go to etc/x11/gdm, edit gdm.conf, comment out the XSRI line, and then tweak it to your heart's content.
Well, speaking of Linux, there's another thing that I've noticed that on all these sites, I think I might have said this before, but they start mentioning that Linux has all these, this many security problems for the year 2002, the year 2001, and 2000, versus Windows has this many. And up until around 2000, frequently, Windows would have more. But now I'm starting to notice that they compare the, I don't know, they had XPilot, which is a game, they said that was a problem with Linux. Those are optional programs. It's like saying that Solitaire has a problem, and therefore Windows is completely vulnerable. It's an optional piece of software. You don't have to put on XPilot. If you don't have XPilot on your Linux server or Linux box, then that means that you're not vulnerable. So it's kind of, I don't know.
I understand exactly what you mean. I get a lot of the SUSE security now. I'm on the SUSE security mailing list, and I get a lot of announcements and a lot of stuff I'm not using.
Right.
You know? So it's,
and then
so
you compare that with Windows.
Right.
And also Windows is getting a little bit better, I guess I should say, at not having as many blue screens, because they have thousands of programmers. Maybe not thousands, but...
No, probably thousands.
Well, okay, well, yeah. Thousands of programmers working on this one piece of software to get it the up to date or up to standard with Linux, trying to meet the competition.
Right. Now, Rats, you can speak. You're the Windows guru here. Compare XP or 2000 to Linux right now. Stability, I'd say, is pretty close. It still does weird things from what I've seen.
Well, XP is in my opinion, anyway, definitely a better OS than 2000 was. I mean, basically, they've taken what there was in 2000 and built on that and changed a few things. And there's, I think it was, the quote was for 2000, there was supposed to be like 10 million with an M, like mega, 10 million lines of code in Windows 2000, so they've only gone up from there in Windows XP. So that's an awful lot of space for little bugs to live, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this kind of segues right into the meeting and what Condor was talking about there. Condor basically launched a, a conglomerate jihad at the meeting. Basically, you know, saying the same kind of things you just said, you know, but basically, I shouldn't say targeting, that's bad. Basically commenting upon Microsoft, Intel, and was it Quest? And Quest. Do you have problems with them, Condor?
Well, they're like little buddies. You know how Mattel, McDonald's, and Disney, they're all best buddies. They make Mattel Barbie, they make Mattel Disney toys.
That's right.
And whenever McDonald's wants to use a Disney movie to make their little Happy Meal things, they always call Mattel, and Mattel makes those little Happy Meal things. They're best buddies, just like Microsoft, Intel, and Quest. As you know, Microsoft bought Quest, or did something weird with them.
Really?
Or I don't know, something like that.
Well, that ain't best buds. That's in being in bed together.
I don't know, all right.
I didn't hear about that. Maybe
maybe
they invested in them or something in that, but I mean, Microsoft is so flush with cash, you know, that it's got all kinds of things. But Condor, exactly what you were talking about is, I mean, that's just par for the course in corporate America. You know, it's called partnering up and doing all these other kinds of things. So they all, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Right. Strategic alliances.
It seems to be that I have an Athlon, and I used to run Windows. It always seemed that I would get frequent problems, or it seemed to be a little bit slower than my dad's Pentium 3. So I don't know, it might be just me that I did something wrong or something like that. But yeah, it just seems that no matter what, you hardly hear of a Athlon being around or a Duron being around, because all these packages you see in the Best Buy ads, they always sell these Dells or these, I don't know, gateways that have the Intel processor.
Well, you know, Intel is definitely has a lot of marketing muscle in that. Dell started to make machines and laptops with AMD processors, but you know they had negotiations with Intel and so on and so forth. And they ended up doing the AMD. However, Compaq has my laptop's a Compaq with a Duron processor. Compaq's making them. I think HP is making them. I'm not sure what Gateway is doing, but there are companies in that are making it with it. But you know, competition is the best thing in the world. If Microsoft didn't have competition with Netscape
they, you know, they never would have gotten quote unquote hardcore on the internet. And so, of course, some people may say that's bad because they're thinking that Microsoft is trying to take over the internet. And depending on who you're talking to, they just may be. But competition's a great thing.
It is essential.
There's a book about the Microsoft monopoly. Sorry, I wasn't talking into the phone. It's called Free for All. And it's a good book, and it talks about the Microsoft monopoly and how Linux changed corporate America. And so far, it's a good book. I picked it up on Sunday, so I haven't really got a lot of reading done on it. But it seems like a real good book, and I like it so far.
Review it on a future show, man.
Right.
Definitely.
You know, and I still say, and I wasn't the one that came up with this idea, I wish that I did, but if Apple would take OS X, since it's, you know, a BSD kind of based, a Unix kind of based operating system, it could be ported over to the Intel, the x86 architecture. If they would take OS X and port that over to the x86, making that available for, you know, quote-unquote PC machines, Microsoft would be in for a world of hurt.
Microsoft also bailed out Apple.
Yeah, but that's very true. And it was only $150 million. I say that like it's chump change. But right now, though, Apple's agreement with Microsoft has expired. That's why there's all these Apple's, you know, these Switch commercials from Apple making fun of, and picking in on Windows users. You know, now I'm not saying that I think Apple's better. I think it's great. I think they've done wonderful things with it. Apple's always been very innovative in that. But you know, they are a for-profit company, which isn't a bad thing, really. But if they would take and not just look at just, you know, the sales. There used to be Macintosh clones until Steve Jobs came back into Apple, and then he, did things to cancel all their agreements and that. So Apple is the only one, again, selling the hardware. So if Apple ends up being short-sighted, they may just say, well, we're not going to port it over because we're going to lose hardware sales. If you look at the percentage there of the marketplace, they're about 5% maybe of the marketplace and increasing. I'll give them that. But if they would, some people would still continue to buy the Apple hardware and all the software. But if they would release OS X for the the Intel AMD architecture machines, Microsoft would be in for a world of hurt, and probably even more so than from Linux BSD. Because I think there was something on Slashdot.today that was just saying that less than 1% of total Linux sales counted for less than like 1 day or 1.5 days of operating system sales for Microsoft. So from a revenue perspective, Microsoft doesn't have to worry. But
it was 2 days, by the way.
Oh, it was 2 days? Okay, there you go.
That is sick. That is so sick. Well, you know what? That's all right in line with Condor's conglomerate jihad.
I think Condor's just turning into a young conspiracy theorist.
No. It's all true. It's all true. By the way, the meeting, it was me, Condor, and me. Condor, me, and myself, and it was heavy on the conspiracies that night. It was a very enjoyable meeting, you know. It was very X-Files-esque. It was good stuff. It was very good stuff.
I usually don't believe a lot of the conspiracies, but there's some out there.
Right. Well, you got an earful of them this time. That's for darn sure.
Well, that kind of leads me into talking about DEF CON, which I went to this past weekend, and there was one session there that was just on, how to run a hacker meeting, or running a hacker meeting.
Okay, so what do they say? I mean, do you have to go and be totally technical and be like robots, or can you, like, this is so much fun. We just went and just talked to everyone about it and ended up talking about conspiracies a lot of the night, and it was great.
Yeah, well, here's what they did. They had Grifter, who's from the Salt Lake City 2600, and
latest issue.
Right, and he wrote the article on dumpster diving that we talked about.
By the way.
And I can't remember the other guy's name. He's from the LA group. Now, the LA group, it's like right in downtown LA, and they get about 50 people a month. Now, they said that may not sound like a lot because Salt Lake City, which only has like about, 2 million people, they're getting about 40 people a month, with LA with having, 8 million people or whatever. They should have 200 people showing up. But he said, if you think about it, 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon downtown, he said, have you ever driven in downtown LA? That's a lot of dedication for people to go there.
Yeah.
But what they were basically saying, and each one did their own thing a little bit, and it was an audience participation thing, so there was a lot of other ideas in that. But They were talking about, and I was thinking for us as well, Duel and Condor, and for anyone else listening out there, we've been up and down in that in participation and all. But what they were saying, the grifter, when he moved out to Salt Lake City from New York, he checked things out, and there wasn't really much of anything going on, and a couple of people just hanging and whatever. So what they started doing is printing up a flyer, like a half page flyer, sticking it in the 2600 magazines in the bookstores. And also dropping it off at computer science halls and, colleges and universities. And basically, they set like a little format aside. And here's what they were doing in Salt Lake was they had like starting at 5 o'clock, they had a half an hour just of like general discussion, and then starting like at 5:30, someone would give a talk on a specific topic, and they'd talk for half hour, 45 minutes or whatever, and do some questions and that, and then break up into groups, whatever people wanted to talk about. And they said what they found is by doing that, they had better responses and people knew what was going on. I mean, and I started thinking about that. In as much as it's fun, just to kind of sit around and shoot the shit, if someone's going to come there and they might want to know what, what the topic is going to be. So what do you guys think about that?
I think that's a phenomenal idea. Actually, I've been to SLC 2600 site, quite a few times, and I've seen their speeches. By the way, it doesn't work well in Concord. Anyway, that's another story. And it looks like it works really well. They have a great turnout, and they have great presentations. I think it's a phenomenal idea. I'd like to do that for the Arizona 2600 meetings. I think we didn't get a lot of turnout this time because of our proximity to Las Vegas and DEF CON being that weekend. We've had other meetings where there's only a few people, but they've always been, great meetings. And if we could actually, get together before the meeting and actually give a presentation, I think that would draw a lot of people to the meeting, Maybe some people who think it's too fringe for them, People who want more structure, maybe.
If people want to talk about whatever else in that, they can do it. I mean, just move off to another area, and you can keep talking if you don't want to hear about whatever the presentation is. So
hey, Bean had a great idea. Move the meeting to Fry's Electronics. Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that. You and I talked about that a little bit earlier, and I may try to talk to the manager down there or whatever and see what they think about that.
Okay, that'd be great. We would just, if we could take that place over, that'd be so much fun.
That would be geek heaven there.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is geek heaven. And you know what, Dave? I don't see why they wouldn't love it. I mean, all these hackers with money, meeting in their snack bars.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, when it's like the food court at a mall, which is where a lot of like 2600 meetings go, that's more of a, it's like not just one, one vendor, one company. Doing things when it's like all within Fry's and that, they have a lot more say of what goes on there. So
that's true, but the thing is, it would be right now the venue we're at, it's not conducive to a formal presentation. Not that it would be a quote formal presentation.
It's kind of loud every now and then.
Yeah. I just don't know how well that would work at the current venue.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, again, Salt Lake was doing the same thing. They made in a food court at a mall too. So. But we'll see how it goes. We'll just kind of wing it. Now another thing there, and I'll step up on
the DEF CON segment here.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. Among other things was from the Shmoo Group, which is a great site, shmoo.com or .org. A lot of great stuff there, and they're a group of guys or a group of people that do various security related things. And they have a related site called securitygeeks.com, and they were looking at starting up like a Security Geeks meeting as well. So I wrote the guy a note and said, hey, get in touch with me and we'll talk on this. But a lot of interesting things at DEF CON, again, took place in Las Vegas, Alexis Park Hotel. I don't know how many people there were supposed to be there. There was a hell of a lot of people. They had one additional tent in the parking lot that they didn't have before. They had the tent up on the roof. The air conditioning worked a lot better in the tent on the roof. It didn't work that well in the tent in the parking lot. The room inside was good. I mean, you could see the materials, you could hear the people. The acoustics in the parking lot was really bad. I mean, even sitting like right up front between the fans going and everything, you had a hell of a time hearing anything. On the roof, it wasn't too terribly bad. And but the thing that really got me. Now they've been doing this for 10 years now. This is the 10th DEF CON, and I've been involved with other kinds of conferences in that as well. But it really seemed to me like they really weren't organized this year. I mean, they were moving presentations, they were changing locations of presentations. Even on Sunday, it was scheduled to go to like 1600 hours, and everything stopped at 1500 hours because they rearranged the schedule. So that was kind of a drag, and people were bouncing around and not knowing where things are going, and people are missing things and so on and so forth. But that part of it aside, good presentations. I didn't catch this one myself, but that Adam Breslig or whatever the guy's name was going to, at Open Source Developers Conference, he was going to show how to do how to copy DVDs in clear defiance of the DCMA. And he backed out of it there, backed out of it someplace else, but he actually showed it at DEF CON. And, you know, he knew he was breaking the DCMA. And he had his mother, his father, and his grandmother there all at the thing as well, just to, you know, to be evidenced and witnessed and everything else and that was going on. A lot of good talks. There was a lot of talk about steganography. They actually, too, had a couple of sessions on lockpicking. One of the more interesting ones, well, a couple of the interesting ones I found, and I did some videotaping of it, although the audio didn't come out that great, but was Jennifer Garanek, who is, I called her after her session, I said, thanks for being a white hat lawyer, because, you know, most lawyers are out there just to screw everybody, you know, and get as much money as they can out of them, but she's working for Stanford Law School, and she's director of some internet and society, internet responsibility and society or something, and they actually do, the law students there, research and defend cases related to the internet. So she had a very, very good presentation on the USA Patriot Act, what it means, DCMA, on the hackback law, and all these other types of things. So it was very, very interesting. And just to belay some fears, it is not all types of hacking that can land you in federal prison. It's certain types where it endangers people's lives and falls under certain other types of criteria. But it was interesting that the she had like a before and after September 11th and before and after this legislation was passed. Now, I guess the legislation was basically written before September 11th, but it was passed in a hurry after September 11th. And it was interesting on some of the things like local police agencies can now directly cooperate with foreign law agencies, or however she described it, but like, you know, Interpol or Scotland Yard or whatever, they can get in touch with the local police about things, whereas they couldn't before if it's thought that, you know, some hacking has to do with a citizen of another country. So that was very interesting. Another thing that was very good was Simple Nomad from NMRC, Nomadic Mobile Research Center, NMRC.org. Was there. He had a very good presentation talking about all kinds of various things, and it was one of the interesting points he made out as he started talking about things, and one of the other speakers talked about this later, is he's saying, you know, since we met last year, because we met in July last year, but obviously, you know, September 11th occurred and the whole world changed then, said, since last year, you know, I have to let you know that I'm just as patriotic as the next guy. But, and he went on to talk about things. So this other speaker that I'll mention in a minute says, isn't it interesting that, you know, after being at DEF CON for 10 years, it's just now this year that you have to let people know you're patriotic even though you're a hacker, because they're painting all these pictures of, you know, cyber terrorism and all this other bullshit.
Yeah, you know, that is bullshit. Hey, did you see today? By the way, there's another, I know there's something, I believe somebody else gave a presentation there on something I thought was just really cool, and I want you to talk about that in a little bit, but today, I believe it was on Slashdot, I actually got internet access, oh god, it was so nice, and the Australian government was basically voicing their opinion that, you know, letting the RIA and the NPA hack peer-to-peer networks, you know, on their soil is quite illegal, and they will definitely go after anybody who does such things. I thought that was hilarious. That was great, you know.
Yeah.
I know the Australian, they haven't done a lot, you know, they've done some bad things compared to, you know, freedom on the Internet, but this one I definitely have to give them props on.
Yeah.
Maybe it was securitynewsportal.com.
Well, they've been doing quite a few things that were progressive, but yeah, I think it was actually on the other day that I spotted that too. But
that's great, you know.
So they're doing some progressive things.
I'm not gonna rant again. All right.
But
I need to talk about you got to know what I'm talking about. All right, well, I'm going to say it. The Dreamcast.
Dreamcast Phone Home.
Yeah, that is so awesome.
Well, here's the thing a couple of guys came up with, and they're basically saying that, and I caught the beginning of the presentation, they're basically saying that most firewalls are looking for intrusion. They're intrusion detecting. So they have this big crunchy outside and a soft chewy middle, and the graphic they had was Chewbacca from Star Wars. So there's a big crunchy outside and a soft chewy middle. So what they've done, they've taken a Dreamcast, which actually has a 10100 Ethernet port on it. It runs, I think it's actually the strong arm processor because it runs like a version of Windows CE. They've come up with an alternative operating system, a Linux-based operating system for it, that if you get into a company, you plug it in, and it basically monitors, sniffs the network, and sends information back to you through the firewall, back to wherever you set it up to go, and you can find out all kinds of things that's going on behind that firewall. So that's Dreamcast Phone Home. And they have it for the Dreamcast, they have it for the iPac, and they have it for the x86 processor as well.
You know, this just emphasizes the importance of physical security. If you're going to secure your network, guess what? You've got to think about physical security. And believe me, that's often overlooked. It's quite easy to walk into some place you're not supposed to. Quite easy.
Absolutely. And they even had, now they had this year, for difference, they had a CD that had most of the presentations, most of the, some people did it as PDFs, some people did it as PowerPoints, or some people did it as web pages, but they had most of the material from the presentations. And as I'm flipping through that waiting for the plane, I didn't stay for that whole presentation, but one of the other things they talked about on there is to make it interesting for someone to do, you know, like if you have this ISO image for an x86, they showed this you know, there's a place that makes custom shaped CDs.
Right.
So the idea being that you make something intriguing for someone to put in their computer, and you know, it'll launch the thing. So they obviously we were in Las Vegas, right? So that picture they had was a CD shaped like Elvis Presley. But the idea being that, you know, you got to get in the door somehow, and if you get people to take and put this thing on their computer, and you know, try to launch it and whatever else, and or maybe even, you know, boot off of the CD and that, you can work your way in. So that was something that was quite interesting.
The king has owned you.
Yeah.
She's yawning over here, dude.
What's that?
Mary Chan's yawning.
Oh, she's getting bored.
You know what? Let's get the phone to Mary Chan and she can talk about what she has to talk about tonight. Here you go.
I have stuff to talk about.
Do you?
I don't know. I'm just wondering around seeing I'm gimp here.
So you're being gimpy tonight?
Not that. I don't know. I'm just fooling around with it. Just some little basic, you know, fooling around some graphic design stuff. It's kind of sucky, but it's an interesting program to use. It's not as, I don't know, Photoshop, like, I've just been using Photoshop for so long that I'm sort of, you know, like, adapted to it. So here it was kind of like, great, how do you do this?
Well, but see, that's good for you. You learn new things and stretch and grow.
Mm-hmm. So I can't find the history button, which is sort of frustrating. That, and it's a lot harder to edit what you've typed in. Yes, yes. There's a reason it's free, probably.
Well, hey, I mean, there's some very, very good free software. GIMP is getting there.
Well, that's what Microsoft used, like.
But, well, Microsoft actually still uses some, they probably have it pretty much hidden, but they were using free BSD for their Hotmail servers.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. Sorry. Well, yeah, free BSD then.
But, like, OpenOffice is a very, very good replacement, really, for the Microsoft Office suite. It works quite a bit alike. Some things are different, but, you know, the more people that participate and, you know, give feedback in that, too, even, you know, Mary Chan, even, you know, giving feedback is part of the development process. You know, not everyone has to be a programmer. Some people have to, you know, write documentation. Maybe that's what you could do. When you do that, you're going to have a computer at school, right?
Oh yeah, I'm taking my old man.
And what operating system does it have on it?
Windows, like most things do in life.
Well, there's what you do. You know, either get it set up before you go, or you can, you know, make friends with someone there. Get it set up, dual boot into Linux. Put GIMP on there, and maybe you can get involved, you know, just like as a side project type of thing or whatever. You could, you know, because you can write and you can do illustration. Maybe you could get involved in, like, the documentation part of GIMP and giving them feedback and saying, you know, hey, this would be a cool feature, that would be a cool feature.
The thing is, though, I could probably figure that out more. Like, my stuff with Photoshop is pretty basic, and so I figure if I could learn everything good about Photoshop and I could say, hey, if GIMP did that too, it'd be pretty useful, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, that's part of the, that's whole, all part of the process. They need people to give feedback and, like, test new versions and see if new features work out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I am considering taking a graphic design course there, definitely. See what I can do with that, because I already like to make basic, you know, web pages and whatnot, so it'd be cool to improve that a little more.
Sure. Absolutely. Matter of fact, I went, before H2K2, I went back to my old neighborhood and a different part of the country and went to my college, and I was the college that I went to walking through, and they had a course on animation. They taught part of it on computer, and part of it was, you know, with the light boxes and you know, the flip, doing the page flipping and everything. So I think they called it, like, Tradanimation or something, because it was traditional and animated cartooning and things like that. So that was kind of cool.
Well, I'd like to study animation later on, though. I'd kind of like to figure out some still life stuff first because, I don't know, I'm lacking a lot in certain, you know, aspects of drawing and stuff. But, yeah, eventually I'd love to learn computer animation and everything. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, so there's lots of opportunities for things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Did you have a good time at DEF CON?
Yeah, like I was saying, it was good, a little less organized maybe than H2K2. Definitely a different kind of flavor, different kind of atmosphere, but it was good. They also had a lot of, they did the Spot the Fed contest, and Duel, I think we talked about that a little bit before on one of the shows, didn't we?
Yeah.
Doing Spot the Fed, and so I taped one of them. Again, the audio didn't come out very well, but they also said this year they had a lot more foreign agents, shall we say, a lot more people there from foreign countries that were actually working for the government of foreign countries. So they said they had two people there from France, and they did one of those guys for Spot the Fed. He actually ended up working for the French Foreign Legion. And they had the guy who does that part of the conference, his name is his handle is Priest. He said earlier on too that you might want to watch out for some of these foreign journalists, because they really weren't journalists. The Israeli journalist worked for the Mossad, I believe it's called, which is like the secret service in Israel. So they were there posing as journalists, but, you know, getting information and all those types of things as well.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So how's this Vegas in general? You spend any time there at all?
Yeah, ran around a little bit, caught a show. Actually, saw more of Vegas than I saw of New York, because I wasn't working doing the conference here. So I went out and caught a show, and my buddy went with, went gambling and came out a few bucks ahead, so that's cool. And we checked out the Art of the Motorcycle in the Venetian, the Guggenheim Museum. So they had these motorcycles dating back, like, you know, 160 years or something. So, like, you know, wood motorcycles made out of wood with these reciprocating steam engines on the front wheel, and it was really weird.
Mm. You should have hung out in New York at the Gould Times Square. Yeah, he seemed to have enjoyed himself.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. You know, I worked and volunteered last time. I don't know if I'll do that 2 years from now, but it was fun, but it was a lot of work, so.
Yeah, you going to be at HKT next year, then?
Actually, they're going to do it in 2004.
Oh, why skip it a year?
Yep, they only do every couple of years. Actually, the previous one was they did H2K2, which was this year. They did H2K, which was in 2000. Then I guess it was 3 years before that was Hope. So they don't do that every year.
So it's going to be H2K4 next?
No, they're working on another name. I mean, that can only go so far. You know, that gets kind of old after a while.
Yeah.
But and they're still working on that. They're working on getting the audio tracks from the video we were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to work on getting the audio tracks up on the website first, and then Emmanuel on the listserv said they're going to make the video available as well. So for people who weren't able to be there, they can check the things out and kind of get a feel for it.
But that's kind. Did you promote our show?
What's that?
Did you promote us?
Oh, absolutely. I made up like 500 stickers, passed them out. I did like 10 CDs, gave a couple of them to speakers and put the other ones around. But it was also interesting, too, that there was like a dedicated vendor area, and I've got some footage of that, but there was lots and lots of T-shirts. I think the funniest one, you'd love this, MC. It was like a girl's shirt, right? It was cut as a girl's shirt, and the saying on the front said, "No, this is not my boyfriend's conference badge."
Cute.
And so there was again, lots of T-shirts and things, stickers, books, a lot of old equipment. And
Duel might get a kick out of this if you can get him back on the line there. There was a lot of old equipment. Now, Duel, we saw at H2K2, right, the retro room?
Oh, yeah.
So at DEF CON, they didn't have, like, that retro room, but there was a lot of old equipment there. There was two vendors there that were selling old equipment, and people were buying this stuff. They actually ended up giving it away, like, door prizes at some of the presentations. But, I mean, man, you look at this stuff. There was an HP RAID 5 cabinet. This thing was built like a tank. It would withstand nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
They were selling it for like $50, but it probably cost you $200 to ship it home.
That's right. What are you going to do with it then, too?
I don't know. But, you know, so I got some footage of that. I'll get that mixed down, and we'll get that up on the website as well. But there was that. Like I was saying, there were stickers. I got you a Freaker sticker. Bunches and bunches of T-shirts and books and things like that. They had the Capture the Flag contest. I got a little bit of footage of that. There was someone took the big coffee pots that like they put in the back of a meeting room. Someone turned one of those into a computer.
Yeah.
So they were hacking with that. They did their first annual word driving contest, and I guess one of the teams talked the local news crew was there. So they talked the local news crew, the helicopter guys, to taking them up for the word driving. So they were flying over Vegas looking for wireless. That was pretty cool. Oh, now here's something that was really cool, and I figure it's got to be a hack, but it was set out there, and maybe I'll see if I can find it here, but go ahead and talk for a second, Duel. I'm going to see if I can find this.
Well, I've got to go, so I'll see you guys later.
Condor has to go.
Oh, Condor's diving in. What, his screensaver's back on, Condor?
I'm not. I kind of stopped watching it for the summer.
Why's that?
I don't know. Just been busy on my computer.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Are you going to make it to the next few shows? I hope you are.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, bring your Linux tips and so I can listen to the show.
In fact, I think I might record a show of my own about Linux, because I know that I have a website if I need to put it out there.
Oh, yeah?
So.
I'm sure we could work into the show. Dude, that'd be great.
All right. Well, I'll see you guys later.
Right on. Later, man.
Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Well, I can't seem to lay my hand on it, but it's like a press release from MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. And they said they were doing a casting call for War Games 2 to be shot in Las Vegas immediately following DEF CON 2003. And it said that both Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy were reprising their roles. Matthew Broderick, as David Lightman, was going to be an NSA agent. And they had a son whose name was, what was the kid's name? I don't know if it was Jason or whatever. Anyway, whatever the password was in War Games, you know, it was Faulkner's son.
Right.
That was going to be the kid's name. And anyway, so they were doing a casting call for this and also looking for extras, but they were looking, you know, for someone who had, they didn't necessarily have to have acting skills, but, you know, weird hair and piercings and tattoos were really a plus. They were doing a casting call by the pool on Saturday night. So, you know, and it went on to this and all kinds of detail. And I'm going, you know, this doesn't sound quite right. So I think it was a hack, and I would have loved to have been there with my camera just to see all these posers lining up, you know.
Hey, you'd make a good Fed.
I'd make a good, gee, thanks, Dan. I really appreciate that. Here, I can get a tattoo airbrushed on, too, you know.
My tattoo is real, by the way. I did not get another tattoo. Mary Chan asked if I got another tattoo, and no, I have not yet, but I do want another one. I already know what I want. That's my original tattoo, yes. Oh, she's hugging my tattoo. Even professionals can have tattoos, yes, believe it or not. Hey, have you been timing the show, by the way?
Yeah, we've been, we're getting kind of close there.
Now, speaking of the show, this show in particular, what now? Of course, I have no internet access. There's no way I can get the theme to you. You know what? I got to pimp the theme. My favorite band, a favorite album of all time, it's called Factory 81, and I used the first minute and a half or something, 2 minutes, I don't know, of the first song off their CD Mankind called Nanu, N-A-N-U. You know, I should probably ask their permission, huh?
Yeah, that would probably be a good thing. But...
Yeah, maybe I will. But hey, I'm pimping them, man. You got to check out Factory 81. It's got a great feel, great underground feel. Listen to it, and I can't get that to you. So, what's going to be you're picking the ending music? What's going to be the opening music? Are you going to use Kraftwerk?
Well, I've got I like that Kraftwerk, just the telephone call. Even though we didn't do a lot of freaking stuff tonight, just kind of as the little audio logo. But I've got a couple of songs here. Now, for the listeners out there too, it's
we're recording this. It is now like 7 o'clock Pacific time, or about 10 to 7 Pacific time. And at 8 o'clock Pacific time, we start the stream.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to cut this short.
So we normally record this the night before, and then we don't do a lot of post-production. We don't do a lot of fixing things up in that, as you can tell. But it's kind of funky to get the thing going, and props out to the Rant Radio folks. I mean, we really appreciate them for doing all that. But it's really kind of funky getting the stream going. So what we have to do is we put a song at the beginning just so we can get things going, and then start into the show. So and then we do a little bit of song at the end. But so I got a couple of here. We've got some Rammstein for the opening. And there's another little one. It was done live, but it was actually kind of cool. I just love the title. It's called Rave Scooter is the band. It's called Fuck the Millennium. So that's what we're going to do for the closer.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's just a sweet little love song, you know?
That's right. F you, baby. Yeah, check out Factory 81. You know, I'm going to write them. I'm going to write old Nate and see... And see if it's cool that I've already used her song for a good 20 episodes. Now, you know what? You think that'd be better? Maybe I just suggested actually a pen and paper. Would that be a better? Hold on.
All right. This is what I noticed, is a lot of people online often usually put up petitions and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And my opinion is petitioning someone is usually the equivalent of emailing a total stranger online and demanding that they make eggs for you. People will take you usually a lot more seriously if you write. Yes, it takes longer and it's old-fashioned, but people, trust me, writing specifically, it's usually a lot more effective.
Well, it's definitely, they always talk about that for politicians and that. They say rather than emailing them, they really want, hand-delivered letters. And if it's handwritten rather than word processed, that even carries more weight.
That's right. Well, I will take Mary Chan's advice, and I'll find the address for Factory 1 and write them and say, hey, guys, kind of used it already, but can I have permission to keep using it? Because it's just, it brings tears to my eyes. It's so good. I mean, Factory 81, the album is Mankind. Listen to it.
Well, if nothing else, too, we should put a link to them up on the site.
Yeah, and thank them for using their shit already.
Yeah.
I hope to think they'd be very open to it. You don't think so? It might. You know what? It might not be up to them. It might. They might have no say in it. They'd be like, "Yeah, we'd love to, but our record company won't let us." So we'll see.
Well, we'll just say screw the record company then.
That's right. I'll just say thank you guys. There's the song. Awesome show, dude. I can't listen to the show even.
Oh man. Well, we'll have it. We'll archive it up on the site. Oh, you can't even get that.
I can't.
Hey, now.
Oh, you are rubbing it in.
Yeah, Duel, I did.
How you were doing.
Duel, I did send you my old cable modem and those other stickers and that. I sent it off by priority mail today, so you should get that in a day or two.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I need love, man, because I have no internet, and it's killing me.
Well,
Mary Chan's patent me. You know what, Mary Chan, for your last show, I'm going to buy you gourmet dinner. That's right, Taco Bell. I'm going to take you to Taco Bell, baby.
No, dude, take...
What's that?
Dude, take her to that famous French restaurant. You ready? It's Jacques de la Boite.
I thought it was Shea McDonald.
No, Jacques de la Boite, Jack in the Box.
Oh, okay. I wish they don't have Jack in the Box here.
Oh, man. Life sucks where you're at.
Not a suck. I had it three times when I was in Arizona, dude. Twice in one day. I love Jack in the Box. By the way, give Jack a call. 1-800, I think it's 1-800-955-JACK. Give him a call.
As in, you don't know Jack?
Exactly. What's that?
He just said where you live.
No, no, no. I don't live there. So, they know that. They go to oldschoolfreak.com, by the way. Go to oldschoolfreak.com, and they can check out, all the listeners, everybody can check out the status of the Arizona 2600 meetings. And big props to the guys over at AG2600.net, .com, .org, I don't know.
I think it's .org.
We got a link on the site to them. Yeah, you've met them. They're nice guys, so.
Yeah, very cool guys.
Look, I can't wait to listen to the show. I can't wait to listen to anything off the internet.
Dude, you should be starting to get the shakes now, you know?
Yeah, dude, I'm getting the black shakes from lack of internet. And just take 3 weeks, no show. Oh, I'm going to miss it.
There you go.
I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss you, Mary Chan. I'm going to, Rex, I'm going to try to call in. I'm going to try to send in ideas. Like I said, I'm not going to be... I'm not going to be hooked in the world like I usually am, so I'll do the best I can.
We'll see what we can come up with. Now, Duel, last week you were saying you were kind of giving up your
slogan there, so to speak. So you're gonna have like 3 weeks to come up with a new one.
Oh yeah, well no, I'm gonna have a different one every week. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna say it right now. My new, and it's not a slogan for crying out loud. This week, listeners, use SU minus for crying out loud. Okay, that's it.
That's Dual's thought for the week.
That's right.
And now we got to put MC on for her last in studio show for quite a while.
We got it. This is good. This is your last hurrah. This is the tearful goodbye, Mary Chan. We're all gonna miss Mary Chan. My hand is not in your butt. We're gonna miss Mary Chan. She's brought something to the show that I just can't quantify. I just can't put a finger on.
Well, you know, you can put a
finger. She's brought boobs to the show.
You can put a finger on it. She's legal.
But I'm not, because it's totally, totally platonic. Mary Chan, here you go. Your last show.
Last in studio for a while.
She says nothing.
Bye all, love you.
Okay, that was MC. And again, we are going to miss you. Do drop notes and let us know what's going on out there.
Okay.
And for Condor, who already signed off, and Mary Chan and all that kind of stuff, this is Rex saying, keep knowledge free. We'll see you next week.
This is the liberation.